Bear Down Bears fans, day three of training camp is in the books, and we got a lot to break down. The offense had themselves a day, but the defense did not back down. Also got some very interesting nuggets in the press conference from Matt Eberflus, from Tevin Jenkins on his contract situation. So we'll be talking about all that and more on today's episode of the Chicago Bears Podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a five-star review on the podcast side. Y'all know what to do. Appreciate you guys for showing love as you always do. Let's talk some Bears football because I would say, realistically speaking, this may have been the offense's best day to this point. It felt like it was a more consistent day, but that does not mean that the defense fell behind. To me, this was the best day of a iron sharpen iron mantra that we actually got to see. The Chicago Bears went out there on both sides, and when you saw the 7-on-7 situations, Caleb Williams was phenomenal in 7-on-7. I tracked him down at 6-for-6 during 7-on-7. Now listen, 7-on-7, you should be pretty good. It's basically a DBs versus wide receivers kind of drill. But still, good to see. Caleb Williams had a short pass on the right side to Keenan Allen that he got to him very well, very quickly. Had to extend a play. It took a little while to develop, but I'll talk about why I'm not worried about that in this 7-on-7, but he made a really nice running deep pass down the right sideline to DJ Moore. DJ Moore able to bring that ball in. I thought that was a really good pass by him. Quick pass on the right side to Steven Carlson. Caleb Williams also threw it underneath the DeAndre Carter. And then a short pass that was completed. And I mean, the takeaway from the 7-on-7 was there wasn't a ton of decision-making that was being done there. There wasn't a ton of, okay, who do I go? Where do I go? How long is this going to take me to get here? It was boom, get the ball back and fire outside of the one play. And I think that that's really one thing to me about Caleb Williams that stands out, especially when you start to look at him during the team period. He has a command of the huddle already, guys. He has a command that you can already tell things are starting to move in the right direction for this offense. And we're only 3 days in now. There's still the caveat. We haven't had our first padded practice. This was a day in shells for them, so a little bit more on the body, but haven't had that first padded practice just yet. But what I mean, when you look at how he went from 7-on-7, then into the team period, he continued to be able to go out there and do what he wanted to do. Passed the ball off well to DeAndre Swift on the right side. That was able to go get a couple of yards. It was the only time during the day we would see a blip in this first team period where we got a false start. And that's been a concern. That's been something that Bears fans and the Bears themselves were worried about in OTAs, in training, or in minicamp. It's really the only thing that we saw any concern on. And so, not to say that it's all done, but that being one of the only blips that we really saw today offensive line-wise, that's not a bad situation for you to be in. Handed the football off to Khalil Herbert after that, and then showed some real poise in the pocket. This play, I think, really is why I'm not worried about the extended play in 7-on-7, because again, it's just a quarterback, or it's a quarterback wide receiver DB drill for the most part. But in this team period, you saw Caleb Williams pressure in the pocket, dance around a little bit, step up in the pocket, saw a window, fired the football, got it to DJ Moore. Yes, it took it a little bit longer to develop than maybe it would if you're going a 1-2 fire the football. But it was the right pass, and it was online. It was on target. DJ Moore did have to jump a little bit for it, but that's okay. He's good at that. And to me, you know, with how you're seeing that relationship develop between Caleb Williams and DJ Moore, that's one thing to me that I'm very, very excited to see continue to grow. And as you look at the team period, I'm not going to sit here and run down each one, but I think the thing is, number one, the first team period, the offense wins it. Okay, offense wins the team period. Immediately, DeMarcus Walker's talking, the defense is getting fired up. It's like dogs on a leash. There's this like, okay, you won that? All right, let's see you go out here and win another one again. Let's see what happens the next time. Next time out. And there was some other good plays there that we'll talk about in that first team period. But the next team period out, the second period, Caleb first play, extends another play with his legs, throws a dart to DJ Moore This one, he's extending to the right side, trying to make something out of it. He's pointing to DJ where he wants him to go. DJ gets there. He fires it. We got a very rare DJ Moore drop. So, okay, the defense is already hype about that. Very next play, Caleb steps up in the pocket, similar to what he did the first time he was able to fire it in there to DJ Moore. Pump faked, would have got absolutely annihilated, would have taken a sack on that play. And then after that, escapes the pocket with a good rush up the middle, throws the football away, tried to hit Tyler Scott. It's incomplete. The defense wins that dance. To me, the point of this is first period, I'd give offense. Second period, I would give defense. Third period, I would give offense. In the third period, you actually saw what I would say was Caleb Williams' best pass of the day, a little play action pass up the left side. Perfect ball to DJ Moore. DJ Moore brings it in, is able to do what DJ Moore does with it, right? And like, I would say again, right, the offense probably won that. Fourth period, the defense made things difficult again. Now, the offense did still go out there and make some nice plays, but the defense fighting back, and that's why, to me, the iron sharpens iron mantra that we've heard around this team for how many years, this time feels real. This time it feels like the iron sharpens iron mantra actually is iron sharpening iron, not iron sharpening itself on each other, basically being really good. And then there's like some clay over here that kind of folds into the iron and you got to wash that off because you still got iron over here, but this part isn't very sharp. Like that to me is the biggest difference that I think that we've seen to this point in camp. And as you continue to go through a lot of the things that the Bears were doing in practice today, you see an offense that's continuing to grow. You see an offense that's really starting to get its footing. You see Caleb Williams throwing surefire strike. And here's the one thing that I have to say that is just different. It's different. Somebody asked me this on Twitter. I think my boy J-Mart asked me this on Twitter, quote tweeting kind of my notes and my takeaways. And he said, what's been the biggest difference that you've seen in this camp from the last camp? It doesn't matter what camp you were in. The ball's coming out quicker. He's getting the football out fast. He's not sitting there thinking about, okay, when is this guy going to come open? When is this guy going to find his spot in this defense? When is he going to sit down? The ball is out. Set, hut, one, two, look, there it is, boom. And for a young man to already be there, my two biggest takeaways, I think, from day three of camp is one, he's getting that football out quick. And two, I know it's just practice. You got to see it in a real game. But that feel for the pocket that people talked about Caleb Williams having in college, that feel for the pocket that people believe he's going to be able to have in the NFL, you see it in practice. I mean, and we heard Tevin Jenkins say as much in his press conference today, talked about Caleb's pocket presence and, you know, how he's able to, you know, manipulate the pocket, but also be able to navigate the pocket, know when to step up, know when he needs to kind of use his legs, know when he needs to put it on himself, know when he needs to allow his offensive line to do that. Now, it's very tough because the pockets now are no pads. There's no bull rush coming. You're basically just going mano a mano, body on body. They're also, Matt Eberflus talked about this as well. They have put certain measures in place, right? Not to say that you're not going at game speed, but they have put certain measures in place so that you don't have guys getting hurt. So there's certain things where it's like, when we're in this period, you can't do this, 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 and this, because I don't want one of our offensive linemen to be hurt on the ground. I don't want one of our defensive linemen to get hurt on the ground. And we don't want to start fights because guys aren't in pads and you know, there's the hits hurt a little bit more. You know what I mean? Like, so I think that the Bears have done a really good job of kind of doing that balance. I'll say this, to this point, three practices in, we still got a long way to go with this. It's a competitive training camp. It's a much more competitive training camp. To me, from what I'm seeing, and I get it, they're in shorts and t-shirts, but what I'm seeing is they're not sitting here treating this as if, oh, it's a foregone conclusion that we're just going to be fine in week one. It's a foregone conclusion that we're going to be fine when we go out here and we play in this this Hall of Fame game, right? Like, it's not that type of feel to it. The work that they're putting in feels like, okay, this is actually something that is beneficial for both sides of the ball. I have to commend Matt Eberflus for that. It was the one thing that I was looking at closest to try and see, okay, are you really taking all of this offseason program seriously? Are you using this to put these guys in a position to actually go out there and be able to implement these things in the game? It does feel like that when you look at the DB room, when you look at the linebacker room, when you look at the wide receivers, even when you look at the running backs. It, to me, feels like Caleb Williams and this team are actually doing things that are going to benefit them for the long run versus kind of last season where, I mean, listen, I've said it multiple times on this show. I felt that the practices that we were seeing, one, they weren't intense enough. And two, there was so many times where I would come back and say, yeah, Justin Fields threw a nice pass down the right sideline, but he probably would have been sacked four times. Now, you don't know the benefit of the legs, but based on just throwing the ball wasn't coming out quick enough. Those are two massive changes that I think we've seen throughout this training camp. And like I said, the feel for the pocket that Caleb Williams has, for him being a rookie, it's impressive. And I think that, you know, it definitely can be a major benefit to this offensive line. I think that it definitely can be a major benefit to the offensive unit that you have out there. And when we talked with Tevin Jenkins kind of about, you know, the feel that the offensive unit has right now, he basically said that when they asked about the cadence issues, that was the big thing. What's going on with the cadence issues? Are there going to be problems like there were in training camp where you were seeing false start in minicamp, I should say, where you were seeing false starts just about every drive? You were seeing, you know, the offensive line and Caleb Williams weren't on the same page. Tevin Jenkins said every one of those problems is ironed out, that we're ready to go, that we understand where he's at, he understands where we're at, and you can tell the pre-snap penalties are way down. Like I said, only one pre-snap penalty today, which is very good. Pre-snap penalties are going to happen, especially when you've got a defense as rowdy as ours are. Sometimes they can do something that can make you jump. We couldn't see today's vantage point. May have been the most hilarious vantage point of all at training camp today, because normally we're on fields 1 and 2. So normally we're standing on the left side in kind of this gravel area that's right by the door. And if they're practicing on field 1, you can see kind of everything. You got to move around, but for the most part, you can see what they're doing. In this situation, they send us to the stands that they've put up. They got some shade in the stands, so it was nice. I guess it was a sunny day out there, so maybe they were thinking of us. But realistically, they probably just didn't want us by the field because we were over there. As we're sitting there, they formed the player wall on the backside, so you can't see anything as you're looking on. So now you've got this line of media just standing on the top bleacher, and like me being 6 feet tall finally paid off, because it's like, oh, I can see just above everybody's head to be able to go out there and see all of the plays. But I think that watching this team, my point of all that is watching this team, I couldn't see who the false start was on because they were coming towards us. I believe it might have been Ryan Bates. But the fact that you're talking about one pre-snap penalty, you're in a good spot. And we're three practices in. It feels to me, and I get it, it's versus your own defense, it's versus the guys who are in your room, but it really does feel to me that you have a Bears team right now who is not being stagnant. Because if you're comparing day one to day two, day two to day three, the offensive side of the ball has improved every single day. Day one, not to say Caleb Williams was bad, but it didn't look like he had made a massive step in moving forward. It looked like maybe there were some incremental things, but it didn't look like it was, okay, he's got the answer. It was practice one. Nobody was expecting him to. Practice two, you saw a little bit more where you were like, okay, the offense kind of fighting back. Defense still has their number. In the third practice, and I know it's not the case, but it felt like the offense had a full grasp of this offense. It felt like at least what they were running today, the offense had a grasp of, okay, this is where I need to get the ball, even when the defense ups the pressure. And the defense did. Like when the offense came out and won the first period, the defense ratcheted up the pressure. They were playing closer. There were a ton of PBUs that were happening in that second or team period. Like when you have those moments where the defense amps it up and you see an offense that can come out in the third period and be able to match that energy. And that's what Tevin Jenkins talked about as well. Being able to match that energy. That to me is something that I believe is what we haven't seen from this team on the other side. And you know, I think DeMarcus Walker echoed the sentiments. When I asked him on very last question of the press conference, I asked him, you know, do you feel like you finally got the reaction out of this offense at the end that you've been looking for when you're talking trash? And what I mean by that is in the situational period, they did a situational drill today, down 3:30 on the clock. Offense had to move. The offense had to move the ball down the field. Basically, I believe they started at their own 15. Caleb Williams did a great job moving the offense down the field, getting them in position to go out there and be able to kick a field goal to tie the game, situational period. During that, you saw the offense kind of like they're booing D-Walk because he's trying to talk trash. They're telling him, hey, you ain't nothing. Shut up. You saw the offense start to jaw back, start to fight back a little bit. And DeMarcus Walker absolutely loved it when he was at the podium. He was like, it's like picking on your little brother and you're waiting for the moment for him to swing back. He also said bullying works. I threw in football in there, right? Because I don't want nothing coming out of there. But, I mean, like, that's kind of what you want to see. Last year, we were begging for that, and it just felt so fake. Remember, right? Like, Chase Claypool out there just throwing curse words back and forth, trying to fight guys, and it was like, what is it? Like, yes, I guess there's some energy here with Chase, but, like, this isn't who the identity of this team is. This year, you're seeing that identity build up as you see the offense move the football better. And in that situational period, you saw some really good things. On the right side, nice pass to Romo Dunze. He was able to gain about, I want to say about 15 yards on that, so got the ball moving quick. It was hurry up, big pack shoulder pass over the middle to Keenan, maybe a little bit behind him. As Keenan was coming across to the left side of the field, threw a little bit behind him. Keenan turns back, sure-handed receiver. You know he's going to be able to make that catch in game. Brings the ball in, gets wrapped up or whatever. They're not tackling out there. They pass it over. They try to get the ball to Roshan. And this was what was great about this, too. At this point, there's probably 54 seconds left in the period. And the defense stood tall. Couple plays in a row. Pass too far out to Roshan Johnson on the left, on the right side for the first one. Did the same thing to Keenan Allen for the second one. Now you're looking at 3rd and 10, and you're trying to figure out, okay, what is he going to do? Set Hutt, plants his feet, turns quick, gets the ball into Rome Odunze's hands. Rome gains about 7 yards on that. Clock is still running, so they use a touch. They use one of their two timeouts that they were awarded in this period. Now you got 4th and 3. You got the defense jawing. You got the pressure ratcheted up. And a quick pass to DJ Moore gets you a big fourth down completion to get the first down. And then I guess because of it, because it was a 1st and 10. I want to say they were at about the 15 there. And Flus pulled the offense off of the field, so they didn't get a chance to finish off the drive. I guess there was a two-hour thing that they were coming up on for practice. There's a limit based on the CBA and all of that stuff, so they had to pull them off of the field. They send the field goal unit out. They complete that drive. That was probably one of my favorite moments, though, because Caleb looked so poised. Pocket collapsing around him. He's able to move up and make a play. There were a couple times where the pocket was really good. He didn't get happy feet, and he was able to stand in there and make a play. Those are the things that you really want to see this young man take away from. And what I believe is probably the most exciting part of today to me was didn't seem like he felt any pressure. Didn't seem like what the defense was saying to him or throwing at him was too much for him. He was figuring it out. And Matt Eberflus talked about how they're throwing a lot at him. When I asked Matt Eberflus, you know, where does he feel Caleb is at in this whole grand scheme of things? Does he feel like he's ahead of schedule? He said, this is not going to be a bell curve. There's going to be up days. There's going to be down days. And a lot of times with the down days, it's going to be because they're installing new things, because they're putting a lot more stuff on his plate. That's what you love to hear. That's what you love to hear, that, like, those days when it's going the other way, it's because he's done so well. Okay, we got to add more to his plate. We're on day three, and I would bet you tomorrow, and it may suck because there's going to be fans there and stuff like that, but I would bet you tomorrow may be one of those days where it goes the other direction, because how he commanded the offense today, what you saw out of him offensively today, I thought was really, really structured. I thought it was Caleb Williams' best practice to this point, and I wouldn't be surprised if they install a bunch of new stuff tomorrow, and people are going to be losing their minds because he's going to have a struggle day. But he's figuring it out. Even as far as right, the defensive schemes that they're throwing at him, they're still working through some of those things. So it's going to be a lot of that, a lot of up and down through these first couple of weeks of training camp, of course, into the Hall of Fame game. But I'm excited by it. I mean, at this point, you have a player on the field who you can visibly see making serious improvements every single day. And it's not like, well, he got better at this, but this took a step back. To me, when you heard Keenan Allen and now Tevin Jenkins say he's got a command of the cadence, he knows what he's doing, he's calling plays in the huddle perfectly, those are the things that stand out the most to me, that get me the most excited about this team, and that I think puts you in a really good position to go out there and have a successful start to this season. Now, I do want to know how you guys feel. Let me know in the comments below. I'll be down there talking with you guys as well. Are you excited? Do you feel like you're seeing the growth out of Caleb Williams that you want to see, that you need to see? Do you feel like the fact that it's getting incrementally better each and every day, if you're somebody who didn't believe in him, maybe makes you feel a little bit better? We got a lot more still to talk about. Like I said, hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave that 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. We got a couple of updates here. Ryan Bates was back with the ones, and for yesterday, didn't put a video out yesterday. So Coleman Shelton ended up running with the ones yesterday. And Coleman Shelton, you know, there's a lot of questions on this starting center position. Is it going to be Ryan Bates? Is it going to be Coleman Shelton? Ryan Bates was back with the ones, which fits the theme that Fluce went with. This is going to be a competition. There's going to be some back and forth here. You're going to see guys get put in and put out. And we asked Tevin Jenkins kind of about, okay, how does that affect you? Does that mess things up for you? And he basically just said, you just got to know how both guys play. You got to know, you know, maybe Coleman likes to slide a little bit more. Maybe Ryan doesn't slide nearly as much when he's making his blocks. So you just got to know where guys are, what guy is in there and how they play. But Ryan Bates back with the ones. I thought he did a solid job. Again, you can't tell anything offensive, defensive line, or kind of running back. You kind of can tell some things on the running back position, but until you put those pads on, you can't tell a ton on where guys are. But at a minimum, listen, I said, can he snap and can he block? That's where we need to start at. He can snap, he can block. So it's good to have that. And I think the first day where we'll kind of get a decision made, and I'll be very interested to see what tomorrow brings if Coleman Shelton's back out there. But if Ryan Bates is out there yet again after a solid day offensively from this team, I think that you may see an edge starting to form in a possible center competition in practice four. Now, the one thing that I will say about kind of the offensive line and the pieces moving in and the pieces moving out is my biggest concern around that is, okay, we've got the pieces coming in, we've got the pieces going out, you've got your starting center trying to figure that out. My biggest concern is, do you have that guy on the team yet? I'm glad to see Ryan Bates back with the one. I'm glad that the offense had a good day today. But when we get the pads on, I really want to know, are we going to see a real shift in, okay, neither of these guys is maybe the answer. We may still have to go out and assess this answer. Could that be a guy like Connor Williams? We'll see what they end up doing with that. But I'm not confident in where the center position is at right now. Yes, like I said, Ryan Bates was solid today. Ryan Bates is 150 center snaps, guys. It's not a lot. Ryan Bates to me is like, he's outside of Fluce, who is answering some of the questions that I had about camp, still need to see some stuff during the season. But outside of that, like, I've got a million questions on where this center competition is going to go. And if it ends with a center that's on our roster being the starting center. Yes, Coleman Shelton was a starting center for 1,000 snaps last season. If he was that good, he'd still be on the Rams. Let's stop pretending that he's this ultimate answer. Now, maybe he has the best season. Maybe this is a scheme that's more suited for him, even though he's been in a scheme like this before. Maybe, you know, working with the linemen that are on this team changes who he is for some reason. But maybe it doesn't, and you still need to figure out that center position for a rookie quarterback. And I look on the other side. Maybe Ryan Bates, the 150 snaps don't matter. Maybe Buffalo's O-line was so good that he couldn't crack the starting lineup, even though he was still a phenomenal lineman. Maybe that is the case. But maybe it's not. Maybe he was a backup for a reason. That is my biggest concern. And in that situation, what do you then do? That's why I like the fact that they're having a competition at center. The one thing I will say about Ryan Bates, we talked to Tevin Jenkins about this as well. I think the first question asked to him was, who's the vocal leader on the offensive line? And Tevin immediately responded, Ryan Bates is that guy. Didn't take him long to get into that role. Didn't take him long to kind of figure out what he wanted to do and how he was going to take command of this offense, which is great to hear from your potential center. That's what you want to hear about your potential center. That he's a leader, that he's the guy that comes in and he's the one that's being the most vocal and he's showing people what to do and telling people where to be and all. That's what you want to hear. Especially with some of the question marks that have come up on this offensive line. And so for me, hearing those things about Ryan Bates, I hear all the right things, but you got to be able to play it on the field. That's what it comes down to. That's what it is at the end of the day. Something else that was a really interesting thing that I took away from day three of camp. I have this in my notes in bold letters, and it has been a very big topic of conversation. And that is Khalil Herbert. The conversation around Khalil Herbert has been, is he going to be on the team? Will the Bears keep him around? How are they going to get everybody involved? What are they going to do? And like the video, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. To me, Khalil Herbert, and what I saw today, and I know I just said running backs make things very difficult, but these were plays where he's making a quick cut. He's up the middle. He's gone. He's running something to the outside. He's up the edge. He's gone. Khalil Herbert is not going to make moving on from him an easy decision, and I respect the heck out of that. Khalil Herbert is not going to make the Bears' decision to say, we want to go a different direction at the running back position. He's not making that easy because he has been one of the strongest players out there. Now, at the end of the day, does that change anything? Could we still see the Bears move on from Khalil Herbert? Could we still see them go a different direction there? Sure. But the biggest reason for that to me isn't Khalil Herbert. GMs that make business decisions. They just do. DeAndre Swift and Roschon Johnson have capital that Ryan Poles had that he invested into them, whether draft or financial. GMs want to make the business decision for their guy. And so the likelihood that we see Khalil Herbert here, knowing you're probably not re-signing him next season, knowing that you're probably not keeping him on the team outside of maybe another one-year deal if you did re-sign him, are you going to be willing to move on from him? That's just how the business of football goes sometimes. And that's okay. But make no mistake about this. Blocking-wise, that's a whole different conversation. But if the Bears move on from Khalil Herbert, it has absolutely nothing to do with the kind of player he is. Because he's a guy who always finishes his runs in the end zone. He's a guy who, to me, has taught Roschon Johnson some of those same things. And you see Roschon do that every single time he gets a run. To me, he's a player who you can count on, maybe not as a speed back, but as a very elusive player who can break off for a 40 to 50 yard gain. I don't know if he's outrunning a ton of people, but I do think that he's a very elusive player, and he's a player that can be consistent. And if you can rely upon him week in and week out, you're not in a bad position. But I do think it's tough to take three running backs from this roster into the season especially when you know Shane Waldron runs a two-back type of system. And I'll tell you this, he's going to want the guy that's more complimentary to Roschon Johnson than not. He just is. He just is. Or I'm sorry, more complimentary to DeAndre Swift. I said Roschon Johnson. To DeAndre Swift than not. He just is. And that guy to me isn't Khalil Herbert. I think Khalil and DeAndre do a lot of the same things. It may be a tough situation, but Khalil Herbert is absolutely balling out there. Like I said, couple of plays. I mean, like on the fourth period, let me check my notes here. On the fourth period here, Khalil Herbert got to the just outside of the tackle, planted his foot, made a cut up the middle through the defense. In my mind, it would have been a touchdown. Now, people weren't chasing him as hard, right? Like it wasn't that once he was through, it was, you know, you never know with that. But I thought that he got through the hole quick enough that even with pads on, you could have talked about that being a touchdown run. That makes things interesting. Can he be that player? Are you going to see him play on a different level this year? There's an opportunity for it. There's a real opportunity for it. And I'm excited to see what Khalil Herbert is going to be able to do as he continues to go through this training camp process. And at worst case scenario, even if you move on from him, he's a starting back somewhere. He's not going to be struggling to find work anywhere in this league. And we'll see what the Bears end up doing with that. Couple final things to go over here. I thought that this one, we heard this from Tevin Jenkins as well. I thought that this one was a interesting nugget because it talks about, to me, it speaks to where the Bears' confidence is in Tevin. When the contract situation came up, the conversation about it in the press conference, I believe it was Courtney Cronin who asked him, you know, have you heard anything about the contract? The last time we had heard something about your contract was before the season, and the Bears kind of had, you said you hadn't heard anything back. And has that changed? Has there been any update to that? And Tevin said, from what he's been told, he has to wait until after the bye week to be able to go out and get his new schedule. So that is very telling to me about what the Bears want to see and where they're placing their value, because your bye week is week 7. So you want to see, A, is he going to be able to start the season? Because that's been an issue as well, him not being there in the beginning. B, is he going to be able to make it through the first 6 games? And C, how is he going to hold up after the bye week? Because at the bye week doesn't mean like week 8 in Washington, all of a sudden, here we go, we're having contract conversations. But we can start having those conversations as we talk about how healthy you are throughout the season. And Tevin is doing a lot. He said he's doubled the money that he was putting into his body last season to try and get more out of his body this season. He's doing a lot of different things to try and put himself in a position to be out there all 18 games. He's done that a lot throughout these last couple of years. He's done different Pilates, different yogas and stuff like that. He said he's getting massages now. He's not a big massage guy, but he feels like that's going to help. I think he talked about some acupuncture as well. But those are the things that to me, the Bears see a value in Tevin, but it's all about the time on the field, which I think is what Bears fans have questioned the entire time. Tevin Jenkins is a valuable player. When he's on the field, he's literally one of the best maulers in the league. There's few dudes I would want to run behind other than Tevin Jenkins. And I keep saying this. When we saw that Tevin Jenkins, Darnell Wright lineup on that right side, there's still guys laying in Soldier Field who were killed by that. They just buried him. They just were like, well, here lies such and such. It was a good run. So having that guy on your team is something that puts you in a great position, but not being able to do anything contract-wise until after the bye week, that tells you all you need to know to me. And I hope that he's out there for, I've said, you give me 12 to 14 games, I'm re-signing him. Give me 12 to 14 games, I'm it. I need to see more of the 14 than the 12, but he's too good of a player to just let walk if he's giving you 12 to 14 games. Does that mean that he makes less? For sure. Does that mean maybe you let him test the market and see kind of where he's at and he comes back to you and you give him that number? For sure. 100%. But there's not a lot of guys out there at the left guard position who give you as much as Tevin Jenkins can give you, especially as you're starting to establish some consistency, you hope, with this offensive line. And so we'll see what it ends up being with Tevin Jenkins. I think that the contract nugget was a very interesting one. We'll see what he's able to do, if he's able to go out there and get the job done. Overall, third practice, though, biggest takeaways, like I said, Khalil Herbert is not going to make things easy. Caleb Williams' feel for the pocket, I think, as a rookie, is one of the more impressive things that you're going to see this offseason, and you guys should still be able to see that tomorrow if you do come out to training camp. I'll be very interested to see if Ryan Bates is back out with the ones after the offense's best day, and I'll be very interested to see if the offense maintains that confidence that we saw build up at the end of the situational period. There was some cockiness. There was some cockiness. Dare I say, I heard some words going back and forth that if they're not on the same team, it might be some swinging going on. We haven't seen that from the offense. DJ doesn't talk. Keenan's about that action. He'll talk a little bit, but he's not, you know what I mean? He's looking to make plays. Caleb will talk, but like, he's not there yet. So like, it was impressive to see the entire offensive side of the ball. And what they did, I guess I didn't say this part, what they did that irritated D-Walk so much was not only were they jawing at him, they started booing the defense for how they were not being able to slow down Caleb Williams. They started booing the defense. So I just love the fact that you saw an offense that, to me, felt, because we haven't heard it through 2 days. We didn't hear it in minicamp. The defense never stops talking. We didn't hear it in OTAs. But offensively today, they felt like they were doing well enough and they felt comfortable enough to kind of get in on the trash talk. And that's a place we haven't seen this often. We never saw it at that point in the Justin Fields training camp last year. And we're three practices in and we're seeing that. It could get fun, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I'm going to say. Hey, I appreciate you guys for tuning in and showing love, man. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Tell me what you're looking for from tomorrow's practice. If you're going to be out there and you see me, walk up and say hi, man. I'm always willing to sit there and talk Bears if I'm sitting there watching the practice and stuff like that. Yeah, maybe I'm focusing there, but definitely walk up and say hi. Can't wait to see you guys out there tomorrow. I'm very excited for what practice 4 is going to bring. I'll be intrigued to see if there is something new installed and we see Caleb Williams take kind of that other side of that bell curve that Matt Eberflus was talking about. But for ESPN, it's your boy Pat the Designer back at it again. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast.